Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Long Beach, to another edition of Swoop's World right here at blogtalkradio.com. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happenings here in Long Beach. Our number, if you want to call in, is 917-889-7449. You can email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Once again, you want to call in tonight? That number is 917-889-7449. Sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World. And welcome, Long Beach, and welcome all of Southern California. And we're back for another Wednesday night of Swoop's World. And this is two nights in a row. Peter, how's it going, man?
Pretty good.
Hey, we're happy to have tonight as our guest for the first part of our show, Star Parker, running for Congress in the 37th District against Laura Richardson. And we're going to be bringing her on in just a second. And we were cutting it to the wire trying to make that connection. I was dialing the wrong number at first, and then we made the connection. So she's on the line, and we're going to be bringing her on in just a second and give her an introduction. She's running for 37th District of for Congress here in the Long Beach, Compton, and Carson area, and she's president and founder of CURE, and some of you have seen her on a lot of different TV shows. She's been on CNN, CNBC, CBN, Fox News, BBC. She's debated Jesse Jackson, Larry King, fought for school choice at Larry King Live, debated Michael Moore, spoke on the Republican National Convention in 1996. She's written three books, Pimps, Whores, and Welfare Brats, Uncle Sam's Plantation, and White Gittle, How Middle Class America Reflects Inner City Decay. She's a syndicated columnist for a number of publications. So let's go ahead without further ado and go ahead and bring on Star Parker. And let's see which one right there. Star, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Keith Swoop. It's good to be with you and Peter and your audience.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us, and we appreciate you coming on. You know, we always start with our guests. We always ask them, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us what brought you to this point where you are today. Did you grow up locally, or have you been in the area a long time? And just give us a little bit of background.
Well, I've been in and out of the area for a long time, but I didn't grow up here. My dad was in the military, so I didn't grow up anywhere. And then after I finished high school, I came to California. And, you know, for the last 25 years, I've worked in public life. And so I've worked in Los Angeles County, Los Angeles City, and in Washington, D.C. And most people that know my story know that as a young woman, I was on welfare. And it was then after a Christian conversion that I was able to change my life. I completed college, and then I started a business. But after the 92 Los Angeles riots, that's when I began to work in public policy. And so I based my organization in Los Angeles for a long time, and then full time, and I would run back and forth across the country. And so about 4 years ago, I moved everything to Washington. I'd worked on welfare reform during the 90s, and I thought I'd never have to go inside the political apparatus. I thought I could be most effective on the outside, you know, working on market-based solutions to fight poverty. But things have changed, and things have changed for this community. And so that's the reason that I'm running for office, to challenge Laura Richardson, because this community really needs a strong leader, somebody that's steadfast and honest, and that will be honest with the community about what it takes to build prosperity for themselves and for their families.
You know, that's one of the questions a lot of people ask about a lot of people. Sometimes it sees a person who's active in the community can do a better job outside of the, you know, taking office and taking that step to run for office. What makes you think that actually working, running for office and going to Congress, you can do more than you can doing what you're doing now?
Well, you know, you're right. A lot of people stay on the outside and are very effective. In fact, one of my biggest heroes is Harriet Tubman, because during the last time we had a major moral question on the table, the question of slavery, we had various people doing various things. Benjamin Franklin was inside as an abolitionist and worked with abolitionists constantly to try to get legislation shaped to fight slavery. Well, Harriet Tubman, in the meantime, spent her time after escaping from the chains, went back and got others. And so I always thought that that would be my role, basically. I got out of welfare. I got out of the grip of government dependency, and I spent quite a, well, years trying to assess poverty, fight poverty, whether it's legislatively on the outside and or helping people individually. But things have changed. Things have changed in the nation. You know, it's the country and the state of affairs are tenuous. I mean, we are deeply divided. We're at a crossroads similar to in the 1850s where we just can't keep going on against our core principles. And so actually the Republican Party came to me and asked me to consider coming home and looking at this seat. You know, Laura Richardson is not an effective leader for this community. We've watched under her watch unemployment rates soar up to 22% in some of the pockets of our community. This just can't go on. This community needs new ideas and new leadership. And what we've seen of the last 10 years that Richardson's been in elected office is nothing new. No ideas, no strategies, no discussion. So you can do it either way. Stay on the outside, go on the inside. I'm very familiar with policy and the political process, but it's just now time to say, all right, let me see if I can go inside and do the work that I've dedicated my life to do.
Well, for those of our listeners and who may be tuning in for the first time, and this is all new and there's an election coming, and wow, I didn't know that, what would be the difference, say, between you and Laura Richardson? Where would you say, you know, besides party affiliation, where's the difference, and what's going to make them want to vote for you?
Well, there is a party difference, we know that, but then there are different approaches to some of the challenges that are confronting us. This community deserves someone who's willing to help all of our neighbors understand that the answer to poverty is freedom and personal responsibility. It's not the dated welfare programs that Richardson supports. It's not bringing in other people's money and stimulus money, making folks wait until government comes up with some plan, major plan. No, we have to get, first of all, for people to become more responsible with their lives, charity tax credits so that help will be local and personal for those that are really at risk. But for everybody else, we have to create an environment so that we can have great business here. And that's by removing obstacles that are standing in the way of getting schools that work. And what we've seen from politicians like Laura Richardson is someone that puts unions before parents time after time again. This community is someone who will fight these obstacles because unions are putting a lot more obstacles in the way of parents and their choices, and the children are the ones that don't seem to then get the quality education they need to be competitive. We also need a leader who understands economics because we're in a very difficult time right now as a nation, but particularly in this community. So you can use this type of understanding to help shape public policy that because we've got to attract business investment and entrepreneurs. And I not only have a degree in business, in international business and marketing, I run a business even today.
Well, you know, when you talk about business, that's one of the things that a plane flew over and it always distracts us here because we're right next to the airport. One of the things that we find in the community, especially here in Long Beach, a lot of small businesses come and go. It seems to be that the small business entrepreneurs have a tough time surviving in various parts of Long Beach. And whether or not it's the economy or it's a lack of support from the city, are the people who live in the city. What do you see as an aspect of helping out those small businesses or those small entrepreneurs?
Yeah, well, it's a combination of both. The reason that you find business going in and out of communities and they can't seem to take a root is because when there's an instability in family life, and what we've seen too often into 37th is not everybody doing their part. Doing their part means that understanding that they have an obligation to their neighbor to be self-sufficient and to be responsible with the choices that they make. And so when you have broken school and broken lives, you have high crime and random acts of violence. And this impacts business. And it impacts business because healthy families won't come into communities where they have high crime and broken schools. It all works together. So once we get people to understand their obligation, and then we can then attract more families who then demand better schools, which then brings in pillar stores like grocery stores and other larger types of employers, which then creates the environment for small businesses to be able to sustain. Most people who will put their lives on at risk and postpone gratification to run a small business are community people and want to stay in that community. They just like local things, but they have to be able to be healthy. They cannot peek out of the window to see if is that a customer or somebody coming to rob me. So one of the first things that we have to do is make sure that we bring our crime rates down. But how we do that is send strong messages out that people have to be responsible with their choices.
You know, having run small businesses in the area, one of the things that we find, and it kind of piggybacks on what you said, a lot of people in the area go elsewhere to shop. And I think a lot of that has to do probably with the perception of the crime rate in the area, that people actually live here, feel they're safer to go elsewhere. Peter and I were talking, even people that live in some of the better areas here will go to Newport Beach to pick up items or to shop. They'll leave areas like Bixby Knolls or leave areas like Cal Heights to go to Orange County to make purchases, where they have small business owners with boutique shops right in their own area.
Right. Well, people like convenience. You're absolutely right. In fact, I've lived in Orange County, so I know the business environment there, and it is at this point healthier than the one here, as you mentioned, in Bixby Knolls, where I now live, but it doesn't have to be. We can create that same type of environment. People like convenience, so they want to be able to go in one place, and if they don't have what I want, then I can go next door, and if they don't have what I want, then I can go next door. And so when you're talking about, let's say, clothing, we don't have that variety at this point, and so that's why it's going to take a little bit of time. But what we have to do first off is remove regulations and barriers that are standing in the way of larger employers coming in and then families that will be able to help a business community like that sustain itself. So our restaurants can do well, the dry cleaner, the local, you know, the things that you normally get locally or nail shops and others. But what you're talking about is a shopping environment, and I would welcome that as well. I mean, you mentioned Newport Beach. They have a Neiman's. And, in fact, when I met the mayor and his wife, I said, I want to get a Neiman's up here. There's no reason that we cannot be extremely healthy as a business community in 37th, because we sit between Los Angeles and Orange County. You know, there's a lot of money that's going from Disneyland to Universal Studios that passes right through our three freeways. We should be bursting with opportunity. But what this community needs is somebody that really cares about it, that's staying up at night thinking about it. And that is not what we have in our current congressional leader, and that's why I'm challenging her.
Well, looking at the congressional map and also, you know, living in Long Beach, we know that they are parts of the 37th district that has quite a bit of blight, areas that have had almost generations of blight now. How would you address that? How are we going to get these communities up on their feet?
Well, that's where we have to focus first. That, I think, is what the congressional leader should be focused on, that weakest link, what Dr. Luke said in 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, or the lost son. Because where life is healthy in as much parts of Long Beach, as you're mentioning, Carson is also in my district, and there's a lot of healthy living there. Compton is in my district, and there's some health there. Signal Hill, there's health. But where it's broken, it drags everybody else down. It drags the rest of our schools down. So when people are looking for a new community to move into, looking for a home and good schools, we don't get to attract them here. So we have to focus our time and attention on those districts, North Long Beach, the pockets where we see a dependency on government and broken family line. I've spent my life doing it, last 25 years, and that's another reason that I'm looking forward to representing the people of the 37th, so that I can focus just on these particular areas. You know, it's kind of like what Peggy Noonan said recently in an article in the Wall Street Journal. There are just too many people in the wagon now and not enough pulling it. We need to get people to understand they've got to get out of the wagon, that they're fate is not their destiny. What we've got to do is start sending strong messages into our youth that they have to participate and engage their own lives. And once they do that, it reduces the need for taxation and an aggressive taxation, and that means that it's going to help us build a healthy environment so that we can have a healthy economy.
Star, we have a couple of callers on the line. Are you ready to take some questions for some callers?
Yeah, I will, but there's one other thing I want to add because you were asking what can we do. There are some specific things we can do. I mentioned charity tax credits, but I also want to mention before you take a caller, we are sitting on two economic enterprise zones that the trigger has never been pulled. One is in Compton and one is in Long Beach.
Great. I'm sorry, I got a set of static. Are we still connected?
We're good.
Okay. Caller 426, you're on live with Star Parker.
Hi, my name is Tom, and Star, I'm a fan of yours. I read your blog. I read as much information on you as I could find. I met with your people that came to my door, and I stunned them by beating them to the punch that I was for you and is going to make sure that you get elected if you are who I think you are, and because I don't know you. And I met with Patricia Evans and Evelyn Robertson, and they're two stand-up people who represent you well, and I haven't found anything wrong with you yet. We have to make it easier. We have to make it easier to do business in Long Beach.
Yeah.
We have to make it easier to do business in the state of California, which is what Jerry Bounds screwed up years ago.
Right.
And he drove manufacturing out of the state.
Right.
And we have to make it easier for somebody to be in business, start up business, and stay in business.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know how many
things
you can mention,
Tom,
but that's the heart of it.
Well, I think a lot of people are starting to realize that are not only in business but that are also in government, and many that are running for political office this turn. This economic downturn was a wake-up call to most, including those that are participating in unions that would normally promote ideas like cap and trade. They're beginning to understand that these dated models are not going to take us well into the 21st century. We are now a global economy and a mobile society, and so we have to start thinking about new ideas and have to get new vision. We can't keep insisting that we are going to take models of how we've been doing education, how we've been excessively taxing and regulating our business. We have to just start working together to find new types of technologies and ideas that will stimulate our economy. That's how we're going to then get business back here. But it also connects to family life. What's wrong and what is broken in our community, we have a disproportionate part of North Long Beach in the 37th and in downtown area as well as in the Compton area that are dragging the district because it then becomes unsafe. And so business won't come in if family's not here, and family won't come in if it's not safe and if they don't have quality schools. So it all works together, and we need to work on all of it together.
I agree. There's going to take a lot of volunteering because the city government isn't going to change it. So it's going to take a lot of volunteer effort to make that happen in the family level.
Well, it will, but not necessarily. You can shape public policy. Remember, Dr. Martin Luther King said you can't regulate. He said you can't legislate morality, but you can regulate behavior, and you do that through having public policy that demands for people to do their best. So when we create an environment where people understand they have a responsibility and that people are not going to just keep going in their pocket and redistributing so that they can do anything that they want to, then they start to take seriously their lives and they'll take seriously the studies in front of them. But what's happened with our schools is they're not competitive. They don't have a competitive edge on them because there are no choices. Parents are forced to send their kids to even the broken schools. You look at Carson students are forced into an LAUSD system. Well, there's something fundamentally wrong with that because if they have a beef, they have to go all the way downtown LA. It could take them 2 hours. So what we have to do is just start thinking a little bit more creatively about how we are going to get more family. But charity tax credits would help because what a charity tax credit does means that people can give dollar for dollar to their local charities and write it straight off of their federal obligation without, you know, first going to Washington, then coming to the state, and then coming to the county, then to the city, when then 20 cents on a dollar actually reaches the household. What we can do is build our charity so that they will be there to help those that are in need, help those that, and the reason you want it private, too, is so that people will engage their lives, because somebody that's free will be talking to them about what's broken, not this one-size-fits-all government approach that we've had for the last 50 years.
Hey, thanks, Tom. We got a couple more people who want to get some questions in, so we're going to go to the 313. 313, you're on the air.
Hi, Star. I wanted to ask you about, you know, there's a perception problem also with the district of cities that you're looking at. I did outside sales for a while, and I did a lot of business in Compton. I've done a lot of business in most areas, and now I own a local business. And, you know, we have people, I was actually having somebody tell me last night that they were, you know, they were up in L.A. doing something, and they said, you live in Long Beach? I don't go past the freeway. You know, there's a definite feeling in these communities where, you know, people have this perception that Long Beach is full of gang violence, but yet, you know, it's not.
It's healthy. No, you're absolutely right.
Absolutely wonderful. And I think that there needs to be a paradigm change in the fact that we need to start promoting these areas as healthy areas to be. How do you feel about that?
I agree with you 100%. In fact, it's one of the most diverse communities in the world. And when I found out that we have the largest American Samoan community in the whole world, even larger than Samoa, we have Cambodian, we have Philippines, we're just so diverse that this should be an attraction, a major attraction from all over the world for tourism and other things. But you're absolutely right. There are perceptions, especially you hear Compton, and most people take their ball and bat and go home. And I'm just really fascinated that the mayor of Compton recently was in China and was able to negotiate for China to bring two businesses to that area. So it's just going to take some work. It's going to take some thought. And this is the reason that I'm running, because people are not thinking about it. There are many that are in government because it's a job, and they're not thinking that I can really make a difference and make our area brilliant. The perception, though, there is some truth to it riding across, like, the 91 and the 105, because right when you get to our district, there's trash all over the freeway, and when you see trash, people understand that means we have a tragedy of the commons. And what a tragedy of the commons is, that no one owns it, so no one takes care of it. And this is what happens when you have big government engagement in people's lives. It's one of the downfalls of Laura Richardson. All she does is promote more government, more government, more government. Well, addiction to government, nobody owns. So nobody owns, so nobody takes care. And so when you see trash, people automatically think that this is not going to be safe. So we're going to have to, you know, get some cleanup crews together. Someone mentioned volunteers. Get some cleanup crews together. Build incentives for business that they will make sure that they clean up. And we start taking a sense of pride and ownership once again in our community so that we can get rid of that perception, so that we can attract from all over the world people to come visit us.
Thank you, 313. We got another caller on the line. And 438, you're on the air with Star Parker.
Hi, Star. This is Dano from Long Beach. Thanks for being on the call.
Oh, you're welcome.
I truly hope we can send you to D.C. and get Laura Richardson out of there. But my question to you is, assuming you do get there, what would be top three most critical legislative agenda items that you think need to be addressed?
Well, the first thing that needs to be addressed is welfare reform and getting charity tax credits, because we have to stop the hemorrhaging. We really are at now 22% unemployment rates in some of our in some of our neighborhoods, and even good people get desperate with these types of unemployment rates. And so what's happened is there's pressure now put on our shelters and many of our private distribution centers, because they have less revenues, you know, with the downturn in the economy, but yet they have twice the people coming in for need, whether it's, you know, housing, or whether it's they're just getting on drugs or whatever. So we have to do that. That's immediate work, and I think I can immediately get something done there, since welfare reform is already law. You can just amend it to it and or go through Health and Human Services and focus some time and attention. The next thing we need to do is look at our schools and try to fight the obstacles that are standing in the way to getting them fixed. And, you know, Laura Richardson, what's interesting is that President Barack Obama developed out this race to the top to try to be a little bit more creative in education, or allow the states to be a little bit more creative by rewarding them with extra grants if they would think out of the box, you know, get some more charters, do some more things with the schools that are broken. And Laura Richardson was part of that Democrat establishment that voted against it. I mean, my goodness, we need to, and then California, of course, didn't get one, and then that meant Long Beach didn't get one, even though they finally put it back in the bill after the president demanded it to go back in there. We do have to get more school options available so that we can have a competitive educational environment. And then the third thing that I would do is really look at labor law, because we have a hemorrhaging going on when it comes to our illegal population. We have people being now displaced, if you will, and not mainstreaming those that are here. So labor law is creating a pull for workers that are not in the system, and we have to address this. And so minimum wage hurts us. Davis-Bacon, when you think about some of the labor law that are attached to what the union has demanded over the last 50 years, it's just not going to work any longer. So we'll have to start peeling away so that young people can enter the workforce and then work hard and work their way up. Those are just some of the immediate things. It's hard to promise you're 435 people in there, and it's hard to say, I know that I'm going to do this when I get to Congress. No, the biggest deal is you only need to know you have somebody you can trust that's going to stay up at night thinking about how they're going to revitalize this area so that we can all have better neighborhoods.
Thank you, Daniel, for calling in. Star, I know you have a town hall coming up next week, I believe. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, what I've wanted to do is introduce myself. I've spent a lot of time out of the community, working in various communities across this country on issues as we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes, and then, of course, working in Washington, D.C. So I want to introduce myself. I want people to know that, yes, I'm real, and, yes, I'm willing to answer questions, tell them a little bit about myself. And so we had a very successful one in Carson, and now we have the Long Beach coming up on Monday the 4th at the Petroleum Club. We'll be there from 7 to 9 o'clock. I'll present for about 20 minutes, 30 minutes or so, and then I'll open up the microphones for Q&A so that people can see if they like me. If they like me and feel that I can be a good leader for them, I'd want them to then go tell their friends, take signs, and pass the word. Toward the end of the month, we'll have one final town hall, and that will be in the city of Compton.
Excellent. I know you were scheduled for 30 minutes. We're about run out of time. Is there anything that you wanted to get out there that we didn't cover tonight that you'd like to get out there to the constituents that are on the air, on the line?
Well, I just so appreciate this opportunity. I thought I was going to do it on First Friday, but I ended up with a bunch of people, and we got kind of loud in that restaurant we were in. I'm so glad for this opportunity. So the only thing I would want them to know is that I understand firsthand some of the despair and the meaninglessness that comes from government dependency, because I once lived on welfare. And then I also understand what it takes to build prosperity for our families and for our communities, because for the last 20 years I've run a business that has focused on these very things. So if people will, on November 2nd, vote for me, then they're voting for new leadership with new ideas and a new vision, and I think that I can help us build a community and a future and some prosperity together.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and we're really happy that you took the time out tonight to join us, and best of luck to you, and I hope to see you around. We have the website listed on the chat line, anybody in the chat line, and we'll get it up on, it is up on SwoopsWorld.com, so go to SwoopsWorld.com. If you need to get a hold of Laura Richardson's website, it's on the chat line, but it's also Star Parker. It's StarParkerForCongress.com. You can check it out there. And Star, thanks a lot. And
you're welcome. If you see me around, you tap me. Now I'm the one with the braids. You can't miss me. I won't know you, but you'll see me.
I'm the one with the braids too. So
you are. Whether you tap me and say hey, and then I can say hey too.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much. And best
welcome.
Of luck to you. And we'll see you soon.
Best of luck.
Bye. Oh, thank you, Peter. Bye.
Well, you listen to the Swoops World on BroadcockRadio.com, and coming up next will be the guys from Lovey Food Review. As we do every week, we're going to be with you Friday night at the Mirage with Michelle Mangione. So we're going to give you a little taste of Michelle with this song that we've been pushing, The Edge of Madness, that she co-wrote with Grace Slick, and this all the proceeds go to help the fishermen of the Gulf.
Who will hear our story? Who will see this hell? Who will bring us justice? Tell me, who will? At a railroad station in Baton Rouge, there's a train to Christmas City. Urban streets keep
tell you about another friend of Soup's World. Well, this is one of the ones we've been telling you about since we came on the air, and that's Inkpeace. Inkpeace sells environmentally responsible ink and toner cartridges for printers and fax machines and copiers at prices from 30 to 70% below the major office stores. Now, we've been telling you that Inkpeace is located at 3636 Atlantic, and recently we've told you they moved out of there. But they're still around, and we want you to still stop by and support Mark Hawkins and Inkpeace. They no longer have a storefront, but you can still get a hold of them. Inkpeace is headquartered in Long Beach, California, and it's the city's largest retailer of eco-friendly remanufactured ink and toner cartridges. The company's empty cartridge collection fundraising program with schools provides materials that are refurbished locally and produce a product that delivers the same quality print at up to half the price of major brand ink and toner for home users, schools, commercial businesses, and public institutions. You can visit their website, which is classroomrelief.com. You can give them a call at 562-912-4657, or you can email them at mark@inkpeace.com. If you're going to give us an email, anybody you know that's doing some good stuff in the area and wants to be a friend of Soup's World, send it to us at soupsworld@gmail.com. So give Mark a call, support Inkpeace, support Friends of Soup's World, and back to our show right after this. And welcome back to Soup's World on blogtalkradio.com. And you can follow us anytime on soupsworld.com, Facebook, Twitter, and you send us an email at soupsworld@gmail.com. Let me tell you about another friend of Soup's World, Powerhouse Fitness.
Yeah.
Located at 5750 Boathouse Lane and 1347 Loma Street in Long Beach. And Jack Nunn is the proprietor over there who tried to kill me today on these new things he's got, these new Pilates things he's got, which works your lower abs. And I tell you, man, it's deadly. It's deadly, but it's fun. We, at the Loma address, you can spin and row, and the Boathouse you can row, and both of them. He's got these new Pilates things to work your lower abs, and it's a blast. First class free, and once a month he has a nutritional seminar, and the next one is next Tuesday night at 7:30 sharp, and they play a couple. They last an hour. And you get to see a good, little, cool little video. And this one is going to be, I think Bear Grylls is going to be one. And Dave O'Brien. This is Dave O'Brien, guys. One of these guys, he runs through the desert. He ran a marathon through the Sahara. It's like a 24-hour thing or some ungodly thing like that. But it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And the presenter is going to be Dano, a good friend of mine. And I'm going to help him with that. So it's going to be a good time. So check out Powerhouse Fitness. Get your spin on and have some fun. And Chris Livingston and Taylor Nelson are here from LV Food Review. And Chris, he gets on there and rolls around with me. He rolls around.
Oh!
Hey!
Oh!
I didn't know it
was
that kind of
party. he's on the rolling machine on the concept tee with me there, man. We have good time, huh?
I dig it.
You just sweat on, huh?
Yeah. We get the music up loud enough. It's a good one.
Let's talk about music.
Yeah. Let's talk more sweat.
Oh, here it goes. It's starting now. So if you guys were with us in the first half of the show, we had Star Parker on. She's running for 37th Congressional District, and she was on, and she's going to be going and having a town hall meeting. I believe that's going to be next Monday night.
Monday night.
Petroleum Club.
October 4th, 7 to 9.
7 to 9. I don't have the address of Petroleum Club with me handy.
I do.
Peter does. He's probably a member over there, man. He's really
yeah.
Big time, you know.
Uh-oh, I had it. Where did it
you
go?
Had
Hold
it?
On. Hold on.
Come on, man.
I must have closed
I give
out.
You hey, one job to do.
3636. Uh-oh, I'm getting some chop there.
Huh?
Okay. 30. There we go. 3636. Linden Avenue. That's in Long Beach. In case you're map questing, that's 90807.
Cool.
Or Google mapping, whatever you need to do.
So good check. You get a chance to go out and meet Star and hear her platform, what she's going to do, and meet her and tell her you heard her on Soup's World, man.
That's yeah. Right.
Let her know that, hey, being on Soup's World is the place to be.
It's the bomb.
That's right. So last night we hung out with these two fine gentlemen at Cafe Neo. We did a LB Food Review. We joined them in an LB Food Review restaurant raid, man.
Yeah. And, you know, I went back and listened to that interview today, and Sounds like we shocked the shit out of the owner with how many people we showed up. He said he had to call one of his cooks back.
Yeah, he had to call
his... He didn't have enough staff.
Didn't have enough staff, huh?
Yeah, that's a good night.
That's a good night. That's a good night.
But yeah, we had a great time. Ate a lot of good food. I ate most of the good food with you guys. And, you know, everybody got a lot of comments today about great event. Had a couple people, you know, call me up and say, hey, thanks for doing that. Let's do another one. And I got approached about every 15 minutes at the event asking, where's the next one? I was like, hey, man, we're only like 45 minutes into this one. You know, I mean, I don't make any money for doing this shit. Give me a break. I'm going to tell you straight up how that event got planned. Taylor and I are sitting in our office in Bellflower. I look at him and say, hey, man, we got to get something planned for LB4.
Oh, wait, this is great. This is great. I heard this.
And he looks at me and goes, what do you want to do? Let's do another restaurant raid. Okay, where should we do it? Well, I don't know. And he says, I don't know either. And then we threw out a couple of names, and I think I said that I wanted to go to Lola's. And he said Cafe Neo. And I said, well, rock, paper, scissors. And we leaned back in our house. Cafe Neo won.
I just want the Livingston family and the Nelson family to know we're a waste.
We are Rochambeau.
The Murphys one night in the tournament.
But I have been waiting with bated breath to get on the show again since I discovered a new place.
Uh-oh.
The place is called Fronks. F-R-O-N-K-S. It's on Alondra in between Clark and Lakewood Boulevard in the wonderful city of Bellflower. And people might ask, you know, you guys are LB Food Review, why do you do Bellflower? Well, simply because that's where my office is, and that's where I spend most of my time during the week. So it's easy to scout around and find new places when you're only half a mile from work. But Fronks is this incredibly gourmet burger and barbecue place. It's just totally out of nowhere. Like, you do not think when you're driving down Alondra Boulevard that you're going to stumble upon a culinary... You know, extravaganza.
Most people think when they're driving down Alondra Boulevard is, how do I get the hell out of here?
Yeah.
I mean, I got off the wrong exit. Yeah. Where the hell is the freeway?
They want to know how there's the strip of auto parts stores that are definitely selling chop car parts next to neighborhood. Like, that just doesn't happen in very many places. You know, our 37th. We're all about it. But...
So we call an enterprise zone.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to be walking distance from work. But on Alondra, there's a couple of really good restaurants, but this place is the shit. We went in there. I went twice because I've decided that I don't want to write reviews where I only eat one dish at a restaurant anymore. I'm going to go back multiple times before I actually write the review.
So you like where the Groucho glasses the first time, and then...
No, I straight up tell them, I'll be back soon. You know what I mean? You know, put on your pretty face the next time I come in. You know what I mean? Like, dice it up a little bit. But the burgers were amazing. The first night I went in there, I had a blue cheese steak. They took an 8-ounce steak and covered it in crumbled blue cheese that had just melted all over the meat.
They got pulled pork nachos.
They do.
You got to try that.
They do. Diane, when we went on that Friday night, actually had a pulled pork sandwich that was... unbelievably delicious. But they do a couple of really neat things. They have tons of different sides that you can choose to have with your meals. And then one of the sides is what they call smashed cheesy black beans. And they smash black beans until they're almost like a paste, and then heat them up so they get kind of gooey, and then dump tons of cheese in them. And it's almost like a fondue with black beans, but...
Taco Bell used to see something like that, man, back in the day.
Really?
Just with pinto beans, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the old pinos and cheese cup.
Yeah, man.
It wasn't bad. That's when Taco Bell still used lard.
That's when they used to have the fire pit out front.
Yeah, that's when they looked like when they wore the same uniforms as the Padres.
They played baseball at the same time.
Before the dog.
the Padres had a similar policy about hiring the differently abled too.
I like it.
It's working now.
Are we having technical difficulties?
No, it's breaking. It's breaking. Here goes the phone. Hold on.
All right. Well, anyway, no, dead air time is dead radio people. So
that's right.
But Bronx was great. The service was great. But one of the coolest things was my friend Miles and I went back and had burgers on Monday night because I saw some of the burgers get delivered to the tables, and even though my steak was glorious, I still just was like salivating when I walked out to eat one of their burgers too. So I got the bull burger, which had a
fried egg,
bacon,
half a pound gourmet Angus burger. Maple, bacon, Monterey, jack cheese, grilled onions, lettuce, tomato, and mayo.
And Miles had the Meister burger.
Good. That sounds good. The Meister burger. Yes. The Meister burger. Come on, Mr. Damn. Half a pound of gourmet Angus burger topped with sliced smoked sausage, grilled peppers, and onion cheese, and spicy mustard. That sounds pretty dumb.
We're
going to
switch mics.
On more meat.
All
right.
We're going to switch mics.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I'm going ahead.
So, yeah. So
I don't hear anything now, man.
But then, one of the coolest things, one of the darn coolest things that there was there, was the.
Yeah, but are you hearing anything? I'm not hearing anything.
I hear you.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. You hear? Well, yeah, but
I can hear in Peter's or in your phone. Anyhow, one of the coolest things is that they. Their sundae was a chocolate peanut butter brownie sundae, and what they did was they made peanut butter sauce by heating up gooey peanut butter and actually melting it across the plate, making a peanut butter sauce, and then covering the brownie with hot fudge and then two scoops of jam scoops of vanilla ice cream.
Okay, there's your head, man. We got the nutritionist just wanting to talk to you right now. You know, you're in trouble now.
Oh, yeah.
No,
it was absolutely delicious.
Hey, how y'all doing?
All right,
good. Hey, I just want to throw a little thing in that I like to do. The local restaurant, Delius, corner of Cherry and Spring, you can just order the Tom sandwich for lunch, named it after myself. They have a grilled veggie sandwich, which kind of knocks it out of the park on their own, but I urge you guys to go try it. I add salmon. It's not on the menu. It's a grilled veggie sandwich with salmon. Knocks it out of the park. Great price. You think you died and went to heaven.
Now,
thanks,
Tom,
very much.
Tom, if it's got salmon on it,
it's not a veggie,
man. I mean, technically speaking here.
I can screw anything up, but it tastes good in the end. You throw it in with a good Belgian beer and an espresso, and you got a complete package.
I've been wondering when he's done this. I'll have the vegetarian sandwich there, throw a piece of salmon on it.
And it's killer. It knocks it out of the park. Yeah, you think you're sitting in the right field seats when Barry Bonds hits the home run.
All right, we're going to give it a try.
Okay. That's my contribution. All right.
What's past your bedtime? Yeah, he does it all the time. You got to do there, man. He goes, I have a veggie sandwich and Kenny Turkey. Yeah. Turkey in there. Just take that out. Get that out.
He used to be a vegetarian sandwich, too.
It is really funny.
Now I know why he doesn't hang around a racing track and eat Chipotle burgers and Del Taco and
Meat Lover's Pizza.
Meat Lover's Pizza.
This has a photo of us right here. You listen to the Soup Throw Radio on Blog Talk Radio. You can reach us every Wednesday here at 9 o'clock. And it's time for another friend of Soup Throw. If I can find it here. Who is it this time, Peter? Who we got going up? There it is.
On this week's Friends of Soup's World segment, we spotlight two local businesses, Alfred's English Gardens and Rich Co. Gates. Kathy Alford of Alford's English Gardens was recently chosen by the City of Long Beach Water Department to help educate homeowners about alternative low-water garden options. Visit the website and click on eSmart Gardens for case studies and photo galleries of gorgeous gardens in Long Beach. Go to www.kathyalford.com. Richco Gates. Richco is a local builder that specializes in locally handcrafted outdoor woodwork built specifically for each client. Richco believes in doing a great job and having fun in the process. He builds gates in a variety of styles. Check out the photo gallery at richcogates.com for more information. If you'd like to become a friend of Swoops World and have your business mentioned on our air, send us an email at swoopsworld@gmail.com. And back to our guests right after this. Hey, Swoop here, letting you know every one of our shows is archived, and you can find them all online, man. If you missed a show or one that you want to definitely hear again, you can find them. And where can you find them? You can find them right here on Blog Talk Radio under Swoop's World. You can find them at swoopsworld.com. You can find them for free on iTunes. You can subscribe to our RSS feed. You can go back and listen to who? John Nunn, Olympic medalist. Jack Smith, Academy Award winner. Grace Flint, rock and roll superstar, Michelle Mangione, Tom O'Keefe, you name it, we've had them, man. J. Ross Perelli. No, I mean, there's just so many people. I can't name them all. I'm sorry if I left somebody you love out. Go to swoopsworld.com, look at the list, go to blogtalkradio.com/swoopsworld. Just scroll on down, see what you got. But they're all archived, and they're all there for you, the Swoops World listener, to go back and check out and listen to again. So check out our archives. Go back and re-listen to some shows that you've missed and some that you haven't heard, because they're there, and they're going to be there for in perpetuity, as they say. So check those out. Revisit them. And like I said, you can always subscribe to our RSS feed, or you can always subscribe to them on iTunes, downloadable for free. And, hey, thanks for listening.
I love your...
He's all like, I love you.
You guys rolling around the boathouse again?
Oh, Lord. <Lord.
laughs> All right, we're back.
Yeah.
We're back.
Yeah, we're back live. Welcome back to the shenanigans here at Swoops World.
I think we need Robin to keep us in check or something over here.
That voice you heard that you don't normally hear, that's Taylor, also known as Silent Bob.
Hello, world.
He just said like six words right there, all in a row.
You know, he said about five words yesterday, and we said, hey, slow down, we got another show to do tomorrow. So Peter was telling us about his big night out at La Opera, man. He went to La Opera and ate large over there the other day, right?
Took the missus there. That was a couple weeks ago for her birthday, and we had a good time. Service was great. If you want like a nice special type of place dinner, that's the way to go. We had I don't remember the name of it, but it was an 1988
what good,
Italian
what,
wine.
What good is that? He went to an Italian restaurant, had a bottle of 1986 Italian wine. That's gonna help somebody out.
Yeah, you know, it'll come to me in a moment here. But the point I was making is that they have a giant. Wine list.
So that helps a lot even more.
Giant wine list, man. 2000, they had over 2,000 wines listed, I believe.
Came here on a recommendation.
Seriously, you know, the thing is, this is actually an interesting story.
Is this what they call heckling?
Yes.
This is actually an interesting story, is that when we went in there, I don't know Italian wines as well as I know American. Well, French,
obviously.
Or even Australian. So I called the guy over and said, hey, you know, the stuff I do know, they didn't have. I love Amarones, and they didn't have any Amarones. So then he tried to steer me towards Chiantis, and I hate Chiantis. So then we're talking, blah, 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 and he's like, well, if you like the Amarone, it's a big flavor, you'll like these. And these are, they're like Super Barolos is what they are.
I don't remember the one. The one we wanted was an 88, and he didn't have it.
No Boone's Farm.
So
huh?
Then he showed up with the same wine, but it was 2 years older. It was fucking amazing. Then we had, I had Osobuco, which is just heaven on earth.
Lamb shank, baby.
And
what was it? Veal shank.
It's a veal shank.
Veal shank.
Veal shank, slowly cooked. And then it was a Osobuco Milanese, which meant it's served over risotto.
I don't remember any Osobuco leftovers.
You didn't get any. Troop did some babysitting that night. And
I don't remember those.
You didn't. I'm sorry, but it wasn't any leftovers. Osobuco. My wife had the tenderloin, and I'm sure
good.
You'll vouch for that.
Yeah,
that
was
quite
good,
wasn't
that
it?
Was good. I don't remember the Osobuco.
No, Osobuco. And then we had a great, handmade raviolis, the lobster ravioli, which was really good. My personal favorite was the truffle ravioli. It was good. And then we had, after dinner, they gave us a tiramisu because it was my wife's birthday, and I just loathed tiramisu, so I can't really speak well of that, no matter what. But they also served us a chocolate box. All right, and it was like box made out of chocolate, and then not that kind of box. See, food boys. They had like fresh fruit and a custard, all kind of rolling out. It was good. It was
sounds delicious.
If you have a few $100 to drop on a meal. And you want to impress someone, and you want to stay local, I highly recommend it.
You want the chocolate box.
Chocolate boxes are good.
Did you write the show's mature?
No. Congressional Academy.
That's right. all right, so we digress. Speaking of restaurants on Pine, anybody catch the article about John Morrison giving it up?
We talked about that last week.
Oh, did you?
You should have been on last week's show.
Well, we're going to talk about it again, though.
Okay.
But, you know, apparently I hear that the place has already been sold. It's been sold to an investment group. They're going to turn the place into, you know, another restaurant. And
doesn't surprise me.
Move forward with it. I mean, why would you not make it back into a restaurant? I mean,
it's already built out.
It's already built out. On the inside, I mean.
You know, it was... I liked it when it was Mum's. I loved it when it was
Did
Mum's.
Did Morrison own it then, too?
Yeah, Morrison.
Morrison's the guy that owns Fritz. He's in the Lions Club with me.
I loved it when it was Mum's. It was never really a big schmooze guy. I've been to schmooze a few times. It was okay. When it was Mum's, it was beautiful. It was a great restaurant, and he did a great job there.
So, well, then, since you seem to have some inside information, what has become of the loan, the outstanding note?
Don't know.
That's annoying.
It's 170 grand. It still isn't.
Well, 170. If he'd gotten it down, I think, to 144. But you're still talking, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, and then, you know, there's that other, speaking of the things that our city gives money to, what about did you guys read the article about them selling they brought it up in front of city council, selling the city hall, the other city hall building?
Yeah, the other city hall building.
And people think they sold it like a $2 million loss that it was really worth about $2 to $2.5 million more than what they actually sold the building for. Because
we need more condos, man.
Yeah, that's exactly what we need. More people to live in a place where you have no parking. You know, I mean, it's wonderful.
And then now that you've gotten rid of things like Acres of Books, there's nothing to do down there, and there's nothing to shop for except for all that crappy.
They should have, instead of giving the money for Smooth, they should have given it to Acres of Books. They could have kept their doors open for another 100 years with that amount of money.
And I'd much rather been hanging out there anyhow.
This is the blunt Smooth's world. We're just telling it how it is.
It's the heat, man.
It is the heat. You know, I come back from lunch the other day. Taylor and I went to go to this place in Bellflower called Thai Orchid, and it's great because they have...
It's a food place.
Food place.
Okay.
How'd you guys decide to go there?
I want to make sure.
Was that a rock, paper, scissors? Or
no.
Dell baseball bat.
No. Actually, my friend Jerry Cimino had taken me there first, and I said, Taylor, you got to try this Thai restaurant because we usually would go to Jazz Melody, which is also really, really good.
I've been to Bar Melody, but that's in...
Jazz Melody's, it was owned by a jazz musician, and they play great jazz music in there, and the guy was always playing the jazz radio station from Long Beach State in there. It's really cool. But Thai Orchid, their lunch special, you can go in there and get like two massive amounts, just piles of food, and the bill's like $13. You know, we spend more at Del Taco than we do at Del Taco. But so we come home from Thai Orchid, and we come back to the office, we park the car, and I'm walking across the parking lot, and there's this lady that's like convulsing in her car. She's like can't breathe, and she's like trying to motion to me, and she's freaking out. And so I walk over, and she tells me she thinks she's having a heart attack. And this was the day that it was 112 degrees in the good old Belfleazy. So I'm standing there, you know, it's like I'm just sweating bullets, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on with this lady. I'm trying to get her car running again and unbuckle her seatbelt. I'm on 911 with the cops, and I don't know what to do. I think I'm going to have a panic attack, and that ends up what the lady was having. She was having an anxiety attack in the middle of the parking lot.
Like,
I was pretty sure it was a heart attack because she had a pack of Maverick 100 menthol sitting on the seat next to her, and I was like, yeah, coffin nails, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, lady, you're definitely having a heart attack. But the cops didn't think so.
You're nice, man. You're like, you're having a heart attack. You know what it took me to walk across here to see what's happening to you?
You know, yeah.
Send the
I thought about, you know, it could have been like one of those comedy shows where he's having a heart attack, and then the paramedics roll up and start hooking me up, you know what I mean, man?
What was he doing, man?
Yeah, what was he doing to you? Open, I can't talk.
I don't think we're in any danger of that happening.
the cops, the paramedics, everything showed up. I wondered why five police cars needed to show up for one lady having a heart attack.
Slow day in Bellflower, man.
Yeah. Or they didn't believe you.
Maybe that's the case. I mean, when we called for
somebody else had called and said, dude, there's this big guy. He's molesting this woman. She looks like she's buckled in. Send five cars.
He looks like he's a real menace.
Hey. At least you're not in custody.
That's right.
If that's me, they'd still be running me for warrants.
I swear to God.
Oh, man.
Hellflower's a weird place, man. It's, you know, it's really funny when you go to the city that everything south of the 91 freeway is a dump. Everything on the other side of the freeway, there's even a big sign that points downtown Bellflower on the off-ramp. It's like we're the redheaded stepchildren of the city on the other side of the freeway. They wouldn't even let me put a sidewalk sign out, but they're allowed on the other side of the freeway. Another thing, Star, I need your help with that. Get all those people in Bellflower and ask them what's going on.
That's not her area, man.
Oh, damn it.
I get the L.A. Times to figure out if they can come up with some sort of scandal.
Yeah.
The ones uncovering all the good scandals with local government lately.
Yeah, this Bell thing is really blowing up. And don't we all love that Jerry Brown's running for governor, and he's on the news going, we're going to take these people down for corruption. This is what's wrong with our government. It's like, way to use what's going on in society right there. You don't even have
That's
to spend
politics.
Any. You don't even have to spend any money for that kind of a commercial.
That's politics. Politics, man.
I like it. His commercials now are, it's like, has Jerry Brown switched parties? You know, he's talking about smaller governments and all this stuff. It's like, what are you
doing? When everybody in the wind's blowing, that's how politics work.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh.
But
you're still looking at maps?
Yeah, man. I love maps. He's getting acquainted with his district.
He's been living in the district for like 10 years now. He ought to know his district.
You know?
If that was a chessboard, he'd have it down, man.
Yeah. The chessboard a whole lot more interesting.
It was nice last night that the Junior Chamber of Commerce decided to meet up with us for that event and sit down with us. They were a little radio shy.
Yes.
But,
you don't want to go there right now.
I'm curious. What does the Junior Chamber of Commerce actually do?
Well, they actually put together, I heard, I don't know if I'm correct or not, but that they put together the Street Food Fest. Is that true? They the Street Food Fest that they had that we did the video of and
uh-huh.
everything.
The Junior Chamber of
the
Commerce?
The Junior Chamber of Commerce was...
with the trucks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, was the one that prompted that event.
I mean, are they actually associated with the...
No.
No.
Okay.
What they are is a public action group. I mean, you know, they're young people that are motivated to make change within the city government that are, you know, they kind of... You know, I mean, just like the Chamber of Commerce supports the businesses, these are people that, you know, want to learn how to support the businesses, learn how to, you know, be involved. You know, it's a great way to get your feet wet without having to get in with the sharks. You don't have to get in the big tank.
That's right. A little guppy pond.
Yeah, just a guppy pond to get a little wet. Not the chocolate box.
Oh, I thought you were talking about rolling around on the...
the pine flower.
Oh, Lord.
It's after
10. We're okay.
Okay, I did hear that there's this great place in Westminster that you don't... It's a massage place, but you're in a big room with a bunch of people and you have your clothes on. Don't get twisted, Peter. But...
Wow.
Full body massage for an hour for $20. I mean, that's pretty awesome, isn't it?
That's impressive. Is there a happy ending there?
I hope so, but I don't think so.
Pretty interesting.
Because you have
$20, that would be really good.
Yeah, I mean, but with your clothes on, it'd be a little messy.
You guys are killing me. My parents listen to this show.
So do your kids.
No.
Sean's sitting there going, oh, God, Dad. You're going to be getting text messages. You guys are gross.
Oh, yeah, he's so funny. He said the other day, he says, we filmed this thing for, not Sean and I, but this group I do things with. We filmed the thing. He says, so what's this for? I go, it's something for VH1. He goes, oh. I go, what? He says, for VH1? I said, they used this on this other show we were on. He goes, yeah, but my friends actually watch VH1. thanks for the support, kid.
The sweating story was the funny one last night, yeah. I was dying. I was laying in bed last night, and I thought, oh, man, that shit's hilarious.
Yeah. That's my boy. He's funny. He cracks me up. He looked at this kid the other day. He's playing soccer. And his goalie is less than efficient.
Much
<than that.
laughs> how that kid's parents could be listening.
Yeah, screw him. Kick your old ass kid. Put him on another team. This ball literally just rolls and rolls and bounces, and his kid just watches it just go into the goal. And my kid looks at this kid, and I look at my son, and I'm like, you should have seen the look on your face when you look at this kid. Not that he was wrong, but it was. It was just priceless. And I'm trying to explain it to Peter. Peter goes, oh, I know that look. I've seen Sean give that look.
Yeah, he's definitely not like a wallflower kind of guy.
No.
You know.
I know. I've rode with the kid. I've heard the things he says.
Oh, yeah. It's time for another quick break. So you're listening to Super Road on blogtalkradio.com. We can hear us every Friday or Wednesday night. We'll be on this Friday night at the 18th. Friday, first Fridays with Michelle Mangione and friends. And you can check us out there. We're always downloadable for free on iTunes. And let's go to this is one of the people that are going to be on first Fridays playing at the Mirage. This is called this guy's name is Raspin Stewart, and this is a tune called Rumblin' and Tumblin'. Nice bluesy town.
Well, catfish are jumping, it's a possibility. With some of the rumbling and tumbling in my backseat. You tell me lies, and you hold me tight. We go rumbling, tumbling, rumbling, tumbling,
rumbling, tumbling,
rumbling through the night. Book us a taxman.
Wow.
What do I do? Somebody loves you, For who knows too why we grumble and tumble and rumble and tumble out. Rumble and tumble and rumble and tumble out. Rumble and tumble and rumble and tumble and through the night. Whatever gets you through the night. From neoclassic to the burlesque wall, cities crumble, legends will fall, and lost and lonely without a trace. Rumble and tumble and rumble and tumble and set, set, set. Oh, rumble and tumble and rumble and tumble and what they say. Rumble and tumble and rumble and tumble and rumble and tumble. Get you. Whatever gets you through the night. Whatever gets you rumble and tumble and rumble and tumble through the night. Tumble and rumble and 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 tumble.
All right, that was Rathbun Stewart, and he'll be Mirage Cafe, Mediterranean Cafe. God, I can't hear myself that way. It just double screws me all up. Mirage Mediterranean Cafe, Friday night, the Mirage. That starts at 7 o'clock over there. I think the show's actually started at 8. Michelle takes the stage about 9, and first Fridays. That's the first night of Global, and Global goes on all during October. Wow, Peter, that's pretty global over there. All during the month of October, tons of things are happening. So check out globallb.com, I believe it is. And you can check out the calendar there and see what's happening all through October here in the city of Long Beach. And it's a big arts month thing, and it's a nationwide thing. So check that all out. And the first events are starting at First Friday. So we'll be at the Mirage broadcasting live from there. And check out Swoop's World and stop on by and say hi. We're here with LB Food Review at Chris Livingston, C. Liv, and Taylor Nelson, Silent Bob.
It's actually the bone.
The bone, huh?
The bone, yeah.
The bone. Yeah, man. How do you come up with a name like the bone, man? How do you get that?
I wish I had some really awesome story about it. It's really not anything cool. It's just kind of a bummer.
We're willing to listen, man. Because we got another 20 minutes.
Can we stretch it through the whole rest of the show?
Do you have that many words?
I got lots of words.
Come on, Mr. T.
But I'm a little speechless at the moment.
Back in college, when Taylor was in his prime drinking state, it was actually Bonan the Beerbarian is what it was for a little while. Yeah.
Yeah. No comment on that one.
His parents don't listen to this show. That
was a not so mild mannered alter ego of mine. I think, you know, I got kind of a girl name. You know, Taylor, pretty much a chick's name nowadays. There are a few notable exceptions, but I think the balance has definitely tipped towards the double X chromosomes.
Mm.
Pretty much since I've been born. My understanding. At least my parents swear to this day that Taylor was a boy's name when they...
At one time, it was kind of a cowboy boy's name.
And
Taylor was a president. Oh, no. Never mind. Take that.
Are you talking about Zachary P. Taylor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't work.
I get the whole, like, you got two last names or you got two first names thing, too. But I just... I hung out with all the football jocks and whatnot in high school, and T-Bone was just kind of a name that got thrown out there. And got to college and people were like, you know, we're not going to call you T-Bone.
Right?
And I was like, you know, I can live with that. That's fine. And
I'd have called you Ozzy.
Better than Harriet.
Then it just became straight boner.
Yeah, boner. Boner one. We've got just a whole host of embarrassing nicknames for our whole crew of people.
All right.
We've got boobies and boner. And
that's what life's all about, man.
Fatty McFatterson. That was mine.
HB.
For a little while.
HB. Well, you guys have a councilman. Did you have a name back in college?
Robert Garcia.
Yeah, well, that's the only councilman that I know. You guys.
Yeah, we can't mention those nicknames. I think that once that Robert became on the city council, we kind of had to forget that we were having a fraternity. Robert walked around with a bunch of people in black suits, and it was like Men in Black. And black suits. I mean, I knew him when he was a Republican. The guy was the biggest log cabin Republican I ever met. And then all of a sudden, one day, poof, I'm a Democrat. I was just like, whoa! You were campaigning for Bush. I mean, what's going on here?
I don't know you.
I don't know you. But the problem is, I do. you know, the truth is that you can't be gay and Republican very long in your life. I think that they're just two contradictory things.
Some guys make a lifetime out of it, man. I read about them.
Yeah. They end up getting caught some somewhere.
Those are all the ones
doing a foot
dance.
Yeah, you just got to make sure you're real sneaky when you tap your feet.
That's right. You got to tap your feet the right way and make sure the guy on the other side isn't
Yep.
Especially not a cop who's fluent in foot tapping.
Apparently, yes.
I want to know, is that like a 6-week training course?
I specialize not in that, but I'm sure that takes a lot of training, man. It's, you know, it's like Morse code.
Yeah.
That's got to be more than a 6-week class. Foot tapping, man.
Uh-huh. Can you imagine the
that's
film?
That's got to be like that.
Can you imagine the film they show? That's got to be.
You know.
You know, I got to say, I was laughing my ass off the other day when I put up that I was going to take my real estate exam, and then Swoop writes on my my comment. He goes, yeah, man, I know you. You're going to be telling some schluck, hey, man, this is a great deal. You got to buy this house like 6 months from today.
He starts off, he says, goodbye by weekend or something. He misspelled it, so he corrects it.
Yeah, I corrected it.
All these people were like, Goodbye, you know, like goodbye. And I'm like, yeah, right. It's a goodbye.
Oh, man.
It's all about the cha-ching.
Yeah. Dollar bills, y'all.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Dead president. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
What are you looking at
too bad
there,
that
man.
We don't make money for doing this. If we made money for doing this shit, I swear to God, I'd spend every day in your garage.
That's what Swoop and I have been saying for years. Man.
Heading down to the studio.
anybody out there listening that wants to pay us to do this, we will accept your money.
I mean, if we could do that, then we'd have a studio. This place would be tricked out, soundproof. The fridge here would actually be a kegerator.
Yeah.
We'll put a little PayPal donate button down there.
Right, that's right.
We really do need a kegerator in your garage, though.
No.
I'll build it for you. I know how to build that type of thing.
The problem with the kegerator in my garage is that you guys are only here once every other week.
Well,
the kegerator is here the rest of the time.
I'd be on the show every week.
And even that won't be enough because the kegerator is still here.
And you're by yourself.
Time. And I'm by myself. And
your kids aren't
old enough
to drink with you.
Exactly. So, you know what? And I don't want that beer to go bad.
He's not a man of honor.
And
what I'm saying
is, man, I'd be blitzed out of my head all the time.
Speaking of kegs, I was in charge of throwing the Bellflower family picnic a couple Sundays ago. And so we did it up there at the Carruthers Park, which used to be called Flora Vista Park.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of family are we talking about here?
It was just the Lions Club, my new Lions Club, and then their families.
Cool.
You know?
and I'm in charge of the picnic. And so I'm like, I stand up in meeting. I'm like, show up to the picnic. I'm going to bring a keg.
He said, he goes,
and everybody's like looking at me like, you're nuts. Like, how are you going to have a keg in a park? Right?
Yep.
Well, I went to my favorite keg vendor, Mr. Kegs in Huntington Beach, in which they rent you a trash can with a CO2 in it and a tap that's on the side of the trash can. You just fill the trash can full of ice, put the keg in there, and it just looks like you have a trash can. So we're going through the day. We're going through the day, and everybody's kind of looking at me like, when are the cops going to show up and bust Chris with this keg? Right? Well, I got relief. The mayor and two city council members showed up and said, where's the keg? Got their red cups and started drinking. So I knew the cops weren't showing up when the city councilman and the mayor were fucking drinking off my keg.
They got there going, hey, Yogi. Oh, boo-boo. Where's the picnic basket?
I don't think that reindeer going to like it.
Oh, man. That's actually how our friend Boobs got his name. He was around stealing people's beers out of the refrigerators in the dorm.
There were no beers in the dorm.
Oh, man, that was the great old days. I'd pull up, I was 21, and all these guys were like 19 years old, right? And not even 19. But
and I
pull up behind the dorm building, and they'd run out with duffel bags, and we'd put the 30 boxes in the duffel bags and then act like we're moving back into the dorm, chug all this beer in there.
Crazy Long Beach State.
Dude, Long Beach State was a great time. If your kids want to go to Long Beach State, tell them to go.
My kid does go to Long Beach State.
That's right.
You're like, I pay that tuition. No,
I went to Long Beach State. My freshman year, I went to University of Redlands, and the seniors, they just walked into the case on hand, and there was no hiding anything. They just walked into the dorm with a case on hand.
Nice.
Right in the fridge.
Wasn't so much like that at Long Beach. You'd get in trouble for the beers.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we know a few people that may have gotten caught a time or three.
I know somebody that somebody got caught.
Yeah?
Yeah. They're sitting, the person that got them caught is me, because I ran my mouth. And
well, imagine that!
And Taylor for one of the only times he's ever done this, got super riled up and went and defended me and started yelling at this person. So they knew exactly where the fuck we were in the dorm, because they all know Taylor. So they come and bust down the door, and there we are sitting drinking 30 bucks.
That was a good one. That was the night when the university PD had their guns drawn
on
when
me.
I opened the door.
Yeah. It's a college campus, and there's this lady like pinned against the wall with her issued weapon pointing in a dorm room, and it's like, we got in a verbal argument, lady.
You're like, chill, dude.
No, I didn't do that yet. But the thing is what was really funny, or was disrespectful, is I was like, are you guys even real cops?
Like the state of California.
They hate when you do that, man.
And there's this one on campus.
They take that personal.
He carries this nightstick that's the original wood with like the rubber stopper on it, and it's a good like 2 feet long, and I'm like, god damn, that man fucking smashes somebody in the head with that thing, they're going down, we're gonna have Kent State all over again.
Billy Club, man.
Ask him, where did you try to get hired before you ended up here?
Yeah. How many police departments denied you before you spent your entire career riding DUIs and busting dorm kids for having beer?
Within what mile of the campus?
Dude, I'm telling you, everybody listening, if you drive around Long Beach and you ever drive after having any amount of alcoholic beverages, during the summertime, at any break when college is not in session, do not drive down Bellflower Boulevard in between Atherton and 7th Street, because these cops have nothing to do, and they cruise around and pull over civilians and give them DUIs like nobody's business. I bet you they give as many DUIs as like the Long Beach PD do, because all they do is sweep that area in front around the campus, and that's where all the kids live, so that's where everybody's drinking.
I used to work with a guy who said he was a motor cop, right? Right, you know, those are the motorcycles.
Right, with a little boot.
So we go, oh, you weren't a motor cop. The other guy goes, you weren't a motor cop. I go, no, you said you've been on the job. You weren't a motor cop. He goes, I was when I worked for UCLA.
No!
Oh, you drove one of those three
It's like
three wheels. Yeah.
He goes, no, I rode a Harley.
Patty inspection at the door.
Come on.
At least it wasn't a Segway. He was the guy that invented the
He rode up the Harley. It's funny.
It's not funny, but
it's funny. It's too soon.
The guy who invented the Segway. He rode it off the freaking mountain, right?
He had special off-road tires on it to make sure that nothing could stop him from his final quest.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's not like he invented a freaking Ferrari. It was going 9,000 miles an hour.
Oh, man.
He's not going to have that Wile E. Coyote problem where he runs off the cliff
yeah.
and goes about 20 feet before he realizes he's off the cliff and then falls down. No.
Like, like the guy who invented the turtle.
I'm telling you, did you ever see where they first came out with Segways, that they were saying that they were going to start building metropolitan areas exclusively for Segway people? So that you'd
they
have
call
like,
them malls.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're still not allowed to take them in there.
Or the bike.
Paul Bart, what?
Paul Bart. Yeah. Kevin James is hilarious.
Hilarious.
Dude, King of Queens is such a great
show. I love that show.
Dude, I mean, if you're fat like I am, it just, all you have to do is listen to the guy and you're like, that happened to me last week. God damn it.
Did you see, what was that movie that with him and Spade, or all those guys were in it, Sandler? Grown-ups. Did you see Grown-ups?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, man, he lands on this bird. And he goes, did you crush the bird or something? He goes, no, that's what they do.
Exactly. You know what, the thing about being big is that you can't ever trust a plastic chair. I mean, that is the biggest misstep you can make in a social situation. You roll up to somebody's barbecue, and you're like, oh, yeah, I have a beer, and you're acting like the big guy, you're talking to everybody, and everybody's like, ah, and then you sit down and all four legs and go, woo! And like, this one shoots out and like kills some child over here, and this one like takes out an old lady, and you're on your ass, and everybody's laughing at you.
And the owner always goes, you know what? That's all right.
And, yeah, the owner always says, it's all right. You were embarrassed enough by what happened to you.
It's funny because
I'm too big for those plastic
ones. We were at a friend's house the other day. We were rehearsing that thing.
No.
And one of the guys, he just found a that dining room chair. Oh. And it goes, boom! He goes, man, you broke my chair.
You
didn't
have to pay for that.
So,
oh, man.
He's an ex-comedian, right?
Right.
And I'm just an ass. So, he never heard the end of this shit, right? I'm like, man, I've been in this family since 1865. How'd you break that? It was tack welded.
Yeah. It was like my Mercedes. Yeah. That ass broke that shit.
Huge ottoman. You gotta sit on this.
Yeah.
And we had to go back there the next day, so we were just messing with it for 3 days. Man, it was funny.
You know those hammock chairs that comforts you. You sit in them.
Oh yeah.
Those also are not fat guy friendly.
No, because you
sit in them and then they close in on you and you're like sitting there and you're like, can somebody please help me out of this thing?
Like you're in Chinese finger
cups.
Yeah, man.
Those are the things they those are things you look like you see those old Vietnam movies.
Uh-huh.
It's like you're walking through the.
Exactly. That's exactly what it feels like. And then all your friends stand around laughing at you because you can't
get it out.
You can't get the fat ass out of the thing. And then all of a sudden,
then my son walks up and goes, Dad, can you take it out of there? You're too fat, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Take it out of there. You're too fat, Dad. Dad, why are you sweating? You're sitting in a chair.
How do you sweat when you're sitting there? In a hammock.
That's the beach. Oh, man.
Oh,
you can get hurt in one of those things. think we should write a book. How's the seating position for fat men?
Girthy.
Girthy. Girthy men.
Yeah, you don't want to offend your audience.
Big bones.
Yes, we're big bones, man.
The doctor, every time I go to the doctor, he always looks at me and he goes, "You're fat." I'm like, "Thanks." You know? And then he shows me some body mass index sheet that says that because I'm 6'3" and I'm a large frame, that I should weigh 222 pounds. I'd have to weigh 222 pounds if I was a sophomore in high school. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? According to you, I'm going to be obese no matter what I do.
Yeah.
So I might as well just keep eating soda. And then he brings out his little thing, and it's like the size of a cup, a measuring cup. And he's like, this is all the bread you're allowed to have in a day. And I'm like, are you serious? Are you shitting me? That's all the bread I can have. What the fuck are you talking about, Doc? You're trying to kill me here. You're trying to starve me. I don't have enough fucking reserve for a cup of protein or carbohydrates a day.
You go, you take your body mass index chart that says I'm obese.
Take the BMI
chart. The same body mass index chart that Notre Dame said was going to give me a full ride scholarship off of.
Yeah. Apparently Notre Dame doesn't use the same one, though, because they thought Charlie Weiss was in good shape. Oh, man.
So he started losing.
I'm telling you, when you live in Notre Dame, you don't like any women. You need somebody to get in bed with you and keep you warm in the winter.
Oh, God. Oh, well,
oh, I'm sweating. Man.
I'm sweating. It's time to wrap.
The two skinny guys aren't sweating.
Yeah, well, they're going to be skinny somewhere else, because I got to get out of here. Okay. Come on. Hey, it's been another good time here at Swoops World. We're going to be calling it a night because we got to do this again on Friday. Hey, Peter, don't book us for another 97 shows in 1 month, okay?
If Swoop had had it his way, we'd be doing a show tomorrow, too.
We almost did. Hey, thanks for listening to Swoops World. We're on Blog Talk Radio every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, and we'll be back again on Friday this week, 7 o'clock for the Mirage show, Friday, First Fridays with Michelle Mangione. You can always follow us on Facebook, Twitter, downloadable for free on iTunes. All the shows are archived. And check us out on Facebook, swoopsworld.com. Send us an email, swoopsworld@gmail.com. Thanks a lot, Southern California. Thanks a lot, Long Beach.
Good night, all.
Good night.
I'll come back now here.
Y'all hear? I hear y'all.